What day is it?
Mother's Day.
And it's Sunday. Right. So I was wondering if you guys could do a little acting. Can we just, like, a little, it's not going to be major, but I just need someone to be a mom. And so I was hoping, maybe Kaden, can I just have you be a mom? Kaden, can you just stand right here? You're just going to pretend to be a mom, okay?
Okay.
And you're still your mom. So, well, you're going to be a child, and I want you to be... And I want you to take Aiden's arm, and you're going to be here. When I say go, we're all going to, you're going to go, I want to stay up later, I want to stay up later, I want to stay up later. Sawyer, can you be one of Aiden's children? Okay. You're going to go, but I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. And Aiden,
I want to stay up later.
No, not yet, not when I tell you that. And you're going to go, no, no, or no. What's another good one you guys always say? Or,
I have to.
Okay, so when I say go, then I all want you to do this sign. So would you remember what you're gonna say? Yeah. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, and I'm gonna go. I don't go, okay, go, go.
I want to stay up later.
Okay. Okay. Good job. So Aiden, how did that feel when you had like four different or people saying stuff at the same time to you?
Annoying.
It's kind of sometimes a little overwhelming, isn't it? Yeah. Right. So moms have a hard job, don't they? Sometimes moms, it's a good job though. Even though it's a hard job, all the moms I know would say we wouldn't trade it for anything. But sometimes you have a lot of people, different kids say, I want this, I want that. But so moms, it is a hard job being a mom. But we're lucky to be moms. Whether you're a mom of an animal or kids, some people don't have children. So on this Mother's Day, I want you to think about honoring your mom. And what's one way you could honor your mom? An honor means something that you could do or think about. Does anybody have any ideas of how to honor your mom? Or that maybe you've done this morning? I can think of one thing. Will did maybe breakfast in bed. So he would honor you by saying that. What else? Do you have any ideas for it? Could you say, I just love you, Mom. Thank you for being my mom. Yeah? You could pray for your mom and just for peace and comfort. And just let them know that you love them. That fills a mom's heart. So this day, I want you to think about your mom, your grandma, or someone special in your life. And just honor them and tell them that you love them. And thank you for being your mom. Okay? Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for all the moms and the kids. Thank you for this day that we can recognize moms and their love for us and helping us who become who we are. Please honor them today, God, and every day. Amen.
Thank you, Mariah. You brave soul. All right. I like that song, I Can Only Imagine. And then I get to the line that says, when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. And if you grew up in a church like I did, that meant it had to happen inside a church building. And the forever sit in a church service wasn't really appealing to me. Maybe it is to you. It wasn't to me. Still isn't. I love to think of all the ways that we worship God. Because I'll tell you, some of the times I've had where I worship God the best are not anything to do with inside a church. Whether you're on the back of a horse, whether you are in the mountains or at the beach, worship is what we do that just celebrates what God's given us and what we can do with it. You can worship God when you're spending time with a friend. You can be worshiping God when you're out doing the job that God's given you to do. You can worship God in 1,000 different ways and imagine forever to worship God in the ways that you love to worship him best. So not just inside a church service, but I sure love that song. We've been talking about the 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and the time he went back to heaven. And we started with the Gospel of John. What did John have to say about those 40 days? Then we moved on to Luke. What did Luke say about those 40 days? And we're going to finish off with Matthew and Mark because their accounts are a little bit shorter. Last words. They record Jesus' last words before he leaves this earth. Very last words. He says them and then rises up into the heavens. And that's what we're going to talk about today. When I was in high school, there was a young lady in our church who got married, and she married a man who lived in California. He had a couple of kids, and she left family, job, friends, everything, and moved to California with him. And they hadn't been married very long. I think it was about 6 months. And he was riding his motorcycle to work, a point of contention between them. And he died, not a mile from their home, in a motorcycle accident. 6 months of marriage, and it was over. And I remember her talking to me later, and she said, you know, Patty, we had our problems. We were newlyweds. But I've always been grateful that my last words to him were, I love you. Last words, I love you. I've often thought of that conversation and tried to put myself in her shoes. And sometimes I think, do you ever do this? What if these are the last words I say to someone? What do I want to convey? Now, you can't go around. That's kind of morbid if you did that all the time. And it isn't meant to be sickly sweet and, you know, you hang on their neck and, oh, I love you, love you, love you. But what's really on my heart, what really matters? If you're leaving someone in charge of a project as you walk out the door, are there things that you say? Remember, and I hit the top three things. Brian does this. Don't forget to lock the door, turn off the lights. You know, we say those important things before we go. Matthew and Mark are written to specific groups of people. Each gospel, if you look at that, is written to a specific group of people. Matthew writes mainly to the other Jewish people. He writes it to the community that lives in the land of Israel, and he is explaining how Jesus fulfills prophecy. That's Matthew's goal. Mark's goal was written to write to people who lived in Rome. He wrote to Gentile Christians, people who didn't really have much of an understanding of the Jewish faith. And that's why Mark explains some Jewish traditions a little more than Matthew does. But they each have some things to tell us. So if you want to join me, we're going to start in Matthew 28. We're going to start in verse 16. And it goes like this. Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some of them still doubted. Aren't you glad that Matthew records the humanness? That they were just people like us. They've seen Jesus raised from the dead. He's appeared to them a number of times. And still they get there. And it's still a little weird to them, isn't it? Still a little odd. They still doubt. But Jesus says to them, and these are his last words. He says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. In other words, even though it doesn't seem like it, I'm in charge. I've got this. Therefore, now that you know that, now you know that I'm in charge, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And Mark, because he says about the same thing. Mark 16, and we're going to start with verse 15. And he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached. And the Lord worked through them, confirming what they had said by these many miraculous signs. Kingdom launch. Here we go. Both of them record these last words. And as they stand there listening to him, they're apparently still waiting for him to start an earthly kingdom. Luke records in the book of Acts that they stood there and they said, they're all gathered around and they go, now you're going to establish your earthly kingdom? No. He shakes his head, no. They're still awaiting the Holy Spirit to come and live inside them. Remember in John 14 through chapter 16, he says, when I go, I have to go so the Holy Spirit can come and live in you. He's been living with you, Jesus says, but now he's going to live in you and he's going to teach you all that you need to know. And it was the Holy Spirit filling them that gave them the power to carry out the commission that Jesus gave them on the day of Pentecost. And it gave them the courage and the strength to carry out the mission that he charged them with just before he ascended. to carry out throwing out demons, to handling live snakes. Now, that got to be kind of a little crazy. I don't know if you remember in the 40s and the 50s, down in the South, that got to be a thing. Instead of it being the disciples went out and did that and established the kingdom, people started thinking, well, I'll handle a snake too. And it didn't go very well in most churches, just for the record. But he wasn't referring to them. He was referring to the disciples there, most likely. So what's the importance of these words? It's been called the Great Commission. Theologians call these verses the Great Commission. Jesus is saying, all right, let's launch a kingdom. He taught them how to pray. They've been praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And this is it. Kingdom launch, and it depends, it's on the shoulders of you, of his disciples. He gave it to these 12 men, mostly uneducated men. And off they went to share who Jesus was and what he'd done in their lives. I think one of the most amazing things about the kingdom of God is the unique way he has called each one of us here today. If you're here at Centerville today, chances are you come from a different background than the person sitting next to you. Many, many different faith backgrounds are here. And yet, each one of us has heard Jesus' invitation, and we can take the opportunity to respond to this call by giving him our heart, accepting him as our Savior, and becoming a disciple. So what did Jesus command in these last few sentences? And make no mistake, it's a command. Remember the imperative sentences that we talked about? They start with a verb. Go. Make. Baptize. Three things. Go into all the world. And the verbiage there is as you're going in the world. Not like everybody has to go to Africa or everybody has to go to wherever. It's as you're going, where you're called in the world, wherever that is. As you go, and Jesus specifically wanted them to leave their comfort zone of Palestine, because it's really hard to share if you just stay in one little teeny-weeny town, in one area the size of, you know, from Portland to Salem. And they were spread throughout the world. So as you go, you're going to teach people about Jesus. You're going to tell them who he is and what he's done for you. The second thing you're going to do is you're going to make a disciple. Disciples are just literally, the word means learners. People who will follow Jesus' teachings, be learned, be trained, be instructed in his ways. And thirdly, you're going to baptize them. The people who have decided to give their hearts to Jesus, he says, I'd like you to baptize them. And that Greek word is the same ceremonial dipping, submerging word that it uses when it talks about Jesus being baptized in Matthew 3. So if you turn with me to Matthew 3, because it's really a cool event. Matthew 3, Jesus is going from Galilee down to the Jordan River, and he's specifically going to be baptized by John. John tries to talk him out of it. John says, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. I know who you are. You're the Son of God. Why are you coming to me to baptize you? And Jesus says, why is Jesus going to be baptized? It should be done, he said, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Why did Jesus need to be baptized? What was the importance of that? Jesus says it's done to carry out all that God requires. There's something about that ceremony of baptism that matters to God. I'm not 100% sure what that is. I wasn't raised in a Jewish culture, but they were familiar with it. It was an outward demonstration of an inward change. It wasn't to get you clean. It wasn't a bath. It was a symbolic gesture that said, this is what I've decided, and I want everybody to know about it, and I will do this. Why does baptism matter today? Unfortunately, instead of being a unifying action like Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 4, he said we're all one body, all the same spirit, we all have the same glorious future. There's one Lord, he says, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who's over all and in all. Instead, somehow, humans made the idea of baptism, they turned it into a battleground in a lot of places and let it create divisions. And became like the Pharisees who started making all these rules and regulations. And depending on what you were raised in, there are churches who would say, some I grew up in, If you weren't baptized, you weren't going to make it in the doors of heaven. Nice try. Good luck. Thanks for accepting Jesus. Oh, missed it. That's pretty tight, isn't it? I mean, who wants to grow up with that? In fact, it was so bad that if you accepted Jesus, and then you walked across the street to get baptized, and you get hit by a car on the way, truly, I have relatives who would say you didn't make it. I'm serious. That's how divisive that became. And then you had people clear on the other side who said there's no need for it at all. And I think it's a sad way to treat the words that Jesus gave us, to make it something divisive. Because Jesus gave us something to do to celebrate who he is and what he's done in our lives. Paul tells us in Colossians 2 and Romans 6, he says these words, "Have you forgotten that we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism? When we did that, we joined him in his death. For we died," and I love these words, "we were buried with Christ in baptism." Something about that means we get to be buried with Christ. He joins us in this process. "And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, we also get to be raised and live new lives." Being baptized, Paul says, is symbolic in some way of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We're buried with Christ and raised to new lives. Repeatedly, I've tried to say over my year here, year and a half, I'm going to look at you with Scripture, and together we're going to say, what does it say? What does the Bible say? Jesus was kind of clear, very clear. Go into the world, make disciples, and baptize them. Three things that his obedient followers would do. I don't argue with Scripture. There's a lot of things I'd like to argue. I don't understand them completely. They don't always make sense to me. I hope that when I get there, there's a forum. There's a time to sit down and say, okay, why in the world this? Why in the world that? When I get face to face, I hope we get to talk about those things. But I'm not here to have a lengthy theological or philosophical discussion on when and where people became saved. You love Jesus. You gave your heart to him at some point in your life, most likely. And you were saved. End of story. This is not about being saved. This is about following what Jesus asked us to do. There are a few people I will argue with, and there are a few people I won't argue with. Jesus said, "Have you become a disciple?" Ooh, great.